So up next, we have CleanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor.
He's our newest addition. He too, my explanation momentarily. But let me talk to you for a moment about the notion of group pride. What does that mean? A Jewish Italian neighborhood in Brooklyn, black and white. And he was asked after the war the following question.
I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor.
Of course, I say because the Holocaust was a long time ago.
On our shoulders,
name American and non-American. Between the individual is sacrosanct. The group is important, but that I don't believe in groupthink.
And my sister,
and that's an odd reaction because obviously the person who gave it to me thought it would be a meaningful gift. But I realized later that I never had Eva. I went to a Jewish camp. My family was Jewish. My friends were Jewish. And I lived in a Jewish Italian neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York. But I didn't relate to the book. I thought, what difference does it make to me whether there were great Jews in sports?
I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, chosen generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
That you are.
and there we go. Apologies, folks. Welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I clicked that. It was unmuted for a minute, and then all of a sudden, it's muted again. Amazing. Really going to have to work with this program to figure out why it's taking a delay and multiple clicks to try to figure out what I want. At any rate, welcome back. Okay, so hour number two, and we're going to get into conservatism and the idea that that you can have these compromises and redefine conservatism without the introduction of God, without the introduction of a biblical basis. It doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't work. In my opinion, it does not work. And I'll get to the root of the reason why, but let's pop over and we'll give this a listen. Let me clear the deck, so to speak. And all right, here we go. Now I want you to listen to what this is. Dennis Prager. Let's listen to what he has to say.
I believe in the great American ideal of the individual is sacrosanct. The group is important, but that I don't believe in groupthink. Let me make something clear. There are only two groups, the decent and the indecent. I don't divide the world between straight and gay, between Jew and non-Jew, between American and non-American, between black and white. I only divide it between the decent and the indecent, and it's not my phrase. A Jew who went through the Holocaust, and who has, of course, since passed, of course I say because the Holocaust was a long time ago, name was Viktor Frankl, Frankl. He wrote a book about his experiences in a Nazi concentration camp. He was an Austrian Jewish psychoanalyst. He wrote a book that is one of the 10 books that most, in fact, one of the 5 books. After the Bible, it's up there with the book that has most influenced me. It's a very short book. I read it in high school, Man's Search for Meaning. It's a very famous book. It's a classic. He, relatives of his, I think his wife, his beloved wife, was murdered by the Nazis. And he was asked after the war the following question. Do you hate the German race? That's the way they put it in those days. Today they would say the Germans or the German nation. Do you hate the German race? And his answer in his book was no. There are only two races, the decent and the indecent. If I had to give a motto of my life, that is my motto. That is how I divide the world. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're Christian. I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care about anything like I care about, are you a good person? By the way, it's not easy to be a good person. That's a major, it's the greatest achievement you can acquire. I wish there was a goodness pride month in America. We have all these groups, but What is the pride? I don't even understand it. Let us say you're black. You have black pride, but you didn't do anything. You were born black. You have white pride. Of course, you have white pride. You're considered evil. But whatever your group, I don't, you know, say you're gay. What is the pride? I mean, answer me in a rational manner. The whole point of gay liberation was that a person doesn't really have a choice. Okay, I bought that. I understand that. So how could you have pride in something you didn't choose? It's like, so I'm tall. I'm 6'4". Do I have tall pride? No.
So there's some good stuff that he's tagging on here. There's some stuff that I would you know, question. I agree with him that I'm not going to dislike someone because of their sexual preference. But here's the issue. We have laws now in this country that demand that there is some kind of an equal right. And I would contend with Mr. Prager that I don't buy that you are born quote unquote homosexual. But let's move past it. Let's just suggest that you're born with that with a sin proclivity in that direction. For whatever reason, even in that case, it's not a pass to say, but it's a good thing and you should live that out. There are people who have stronger sex drives than other people. That doesn't mean that the person who has the stronger sex drive should be acting upon that drive every time that they feel it. That they should just go ahead and go for it. Any more so than someone who has a proclivity towards alcohol or a drug or whatever else it might be. It doesn't mean that they should just go ahead and participate in it. And what would be worse is if we made laws or policies, public policies, that promoted and supported those kinds of activities. And to some degree, that is exactly what's happened. Because when we promote abortion as an example, we're promoting promiscuity. Now the way that slid in, well, come on. I mean, look, you know, at a certain point, you know, the kids are going to have sex. Well, let's look at the root of where that came from. That came from Kinsey. That came from the idea that Kinsey put forth that children are sexual beings from birth. And how did he come to that conclusion? By experimenting and torturing infants in the name of scientific experimentation. And because he got a reaction, a certain reaction out of a baby's body, he said, "See, I told you they're sexual beings." Folks, this is sick and perverted, but it's been accepted. And so then the argument goes, "Well, look, they're going to have sex because, well, that's just how they're animals. They don't have any control over it." That's what they're saying, without saying it. And then, instead of teaching self-control, which is an important principle, by the way, in life, if you want to succeed in life, you need to learn how to get yourself under control so that you have the ability to accomplish and do the things that you are called to do and that you would like to do. The only way you accomplish those things is to have some form or some semblance of self-control. So if you don't learn that in school, you're going to have a real hard time as an adult doing anything at all. It takes some discipline and self-control. So we're not going to teach self-control, and the first place we're not going to teach it is in the area of sex. So instead of teaching self-control, we're just going to hand them condoms and say, "Go be rabbits. Have at it." Because we know that's what you're going to do. And then in the sex education, as a means of pretending that we're showing them how to have safe sex, no, they show pornographic materials that show children how to go ahead and have sex. And some experimental ways to do it, by the way. And that's perceived to be okay now. That's normal. That has been made normal. And God forbid that you should suggest that there's abstention, that teenagers should abstain from sex. Well, now you're old fashioned and it's not natural, but it is. And it comes back to a more basic principle, and that is the principle of self-control, which is a principle that is necessary for children to learn in order for them to succeed in school. You're not going to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic unless you have the self-control and the discipline to sit down and read and learn and understand. We complain that they don't learn history anymore. They don't learn social studies anymore. They don't get any of the civics anymore. Well, of course not, because they have no self-control. You have teachers. We were talking the day before yesterday with Armstrong about teachers being beat up in classrooms. So why is that happening? Well, it goes to the very point that I'm talking about. And that is the issue of self-control. And now when I come back, I want to explain the conservative piece to this, and again where I will differ with Mr. Prager regarding, you know, good. And he says it's hard to be good. Well, it is. There's no question, because our nature isn't good. And our founders understood this, which is why America is a Christian nation. Because they understood that only God, only through that relationship with Christ, only through sanctification, can someone actually become good so that they do the right moral thing. I'll be back to talk about that coming up. Right after this brief break, let me just find it. There we go. Let's see if we can get these buttons pushed and headed in the right direction.
So up next, we have ClanSlight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number two. You can get more at chosengenerationradio.com. You can pick up the programs. I just thought of this. Let me jump over there real quick. But I'm pretty sure, yeah, if you go to show archives, it doesn't matter what any of the show archives. Let's see. So that one, I put up the video. Okay, that's just that link. If you go to the listen section, there you go. So if you go to the listen section of the website, you can listen to the program live at Listen, which is on Spreaker. But then you can also go down the list and find all of the audio under the listen link at chosengenerationradio.com. So you go to chosengenerationradio.com, go to listen, and you'll see show archives. Right now we are live there. You can listen to the program live at the listen page, just the audio. Or you can watch us live at chosengenerationradio.com, but you can listen to the program. And for example, on Thursdays when we do our India and we have to break off of TECN. Now, we're still live on Getter. We're still live on Cloud Hub. We're still live on Facebook. But we have to break off from TECN because Texas Fully Loaded is launching. But the audio will continue and would be live. And you could listen to the India broadcast at listen at chosengenerationradio.com. At listen at chosengenerationradio.com. And we're up on there. We're live right now. The program we just did with David Shostokas, the recording of that is up there. The program we did yesterday with Dick Heller and Blanquita Cullum, it's actually the full 2 hours is up. Part three from Monday, part two from Monday, part one from Monday. The preview is up. The Rafael Cruz piece that we did last Thursday is up live along with the India service. So that is up there. So just so you know, those pieces exist and you can check it out and listen to them live. All right, let me get back to this. So here's what the word has to say about the heart of man. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. who can know it? So this idea that there's decent and not decent, at the end of the day, I'm sorry, but without that encounter, without God being involved, and I get it. You know, I was watching a TikTok short, and a pastor was giving an example that someone was in a church, and what did they do? They made some kind of a loud ruckus or a loud noise. I don't remember the exact cause of it. I know what it was. Their phone went off, or an alarm went off, or something along that line. But the pastor berated them, and the people in the church scorned him for the fact that this had happened. So later on that afternoon, he's at a bar, and he's still very shaken by what has happened at the church, and he knocks over a glass, and the glass falls to the ground, and the glass breaks. And all of a sudden, he sees the people in the bar coming towards him, and he closes his eyes because he imagines they're just going to scream at him as well, but instead, they treat him with kindness. And so because he's treated with kindness, as the pastor tells the story, he continues to go to that bar, but he never goes back to the church. I get the concept of what that's saying, and I can tell you from my own personal experience. We had a non-Christian neighbor years ago when we were moving, and we needed help. I was deftly ill. I was at the place where I'd been given the 3 to 6 months to live, and we had to sell our home. And my dear neighbor George came over, and he was such a blessing to us, and just a very decent and good person. And I appreciated him greatly. And the church essentially kind of turned its back on us and didn't offer any assistance or any help when it came to many of those issues. That being said, again, at the end of the day, now we come back to, I'm going to close with this, and then I'll get my next guest lined up, which is Rick Manning, and we may talk some more about this. But at the end of the day, here's the issue. The issue comes down to not decency or indecency. The issue comes down to, where do our rights come from? Who determines life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Who defines that, and who gives that to us? And then as the party who gives it to us, that same party is the party that imparts to us what morality and good look like. What good looks like. It's important to understand. Where do those rights come from? Now, those rights are given, and everybody has their ability to be able to live under that umbrella and within those rights. And so to that, I would agree with Mr. Prager and say, yes, but see, we have to make a moral distinction as well. Because Dennis Prager is equating being gay to being black. He put it in the same sentence. He's equating homosexual behavior, perverted sexual preference, to being Christian or Jew. I want you to think about the implication of what that means. So, should we suggest then that, well, let's put adulterers in there. Let's throw the adulterers in there, because, you know, why not? That makes perfect sense to me. I think we should add the adulterers. So I don't care if you're an adulterer or if you're a drunkard or if you're a murderer, or if you're a liar, or if you're a thief, or if you're gay, or if you're a Jew, or if you're a Christian, or if you're black, or if you're white, or if you're Chinese, or if you're... Do you follow me? I think there's a distinction that has to be drawn. And I think Mr. Prager is missing the boat when he makes his suggestion that when he elevates gay to the same level of black, white, Christian, Jew. It's not. It's perversion. And it belongs in the same category as adulterer, drunkard, thief, liar, and so on. Not in the category of decent people. It just doesn't fit. And it's the reason why our children are being perverted. Because individuals are saying and suggesting that somehow you can be a pervert and be decent. The two don't mix. They're contrary. And when we embrace that idea in our culture and in our society, then we can no longer say that it's God who gives us life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. We've given away our freedom. Because God's not going to say sodomy's decent. He's not. And if he's the giver of our liberties and the giver of our freedom, and that's our foundation, we've exchanged our foundation for bondage to man. I'll be back right after this.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And folks, I'm very pleased to welcome a gentleman who is on my program on Mondays, as well as my normal co-host. But he is we're flying solo with him. And again, I hope you'll just take into account what I shared with you in the last half hour, just in particular. The idea of where decency comes from, who decides what's decent, and what they've done to break down these barriers and this significantly important issue of self-control, and that they've used a back door to be able to destroy our children's idea of self-control. In particular, in the area of one of the most important and most intimate things, and that has to do with sex, by suggesting that children are only able to process and to have sex. That's it. That they can't abstain. They can't say no. They can't be taught abstinence. Because that would be unnatural. Think about what they're saying. It would be unnatural. And so the natural proclivity is that we have to then hand them the tools. And then in another backwards swipe, they literally play pornographic sex education videos instructing. They say, oh, well, we're instructing them how to have safe sex. No, you're not. You're instructing them how to perform sex. You're showing children how to have sex and then claiming that, well, they would have done that anyway. It's about destroying self-control so that then later on you can introduce all kinds of perversion into their lives. And yeah, anyway. All right. End of the day.
Well, okay. I'm not supposed to be talking about, but the fact of the matter is when you take the morality out of sex, when you take the idea that you're having, that this is a sacred union between two people who love one another and are married, when you take that away, you say that notion is unnatural and hence should be rejected. What they are effectively doing is they're attacking the essence of humanity, because one of the difference between humans and other animals in the kingdom, our animals in the kingdom don't control their sex urges. They, if a female is in heat, the number one job is to procreate and extend the species. And so consequently, males and females, when they are in the animal kingdom, when the female is in heat and ready to have eggs being produced, males are naturally attracted to mate with them. And it doesn't, but what they're missing on this is that there's not a moral decision in any way, shape, or form. That's just instinct. Mankind And I'm using that term knowing that they want me to say humankind. But mankind is, in fact, has a choice. There's a moral element to it. There is a beauty to sexual relations between two people who are married, love one another, and are joining together, two people becoming one. That is how God intended for a higher being to be able to enjoy a gift without abusing it. The challenge is when you sit there and you say that it's unnatural, you're essentially saying that we're nothing more than the animals on the earth. And that is a direct philosophical descendant from Darwin and the idea that we're just all from the same ooze and mud, and with no creator, it's just happenstance. So they are effectively diminishing who mankind is, what mankind is, as being, and diminishing us to only being nothing more and nothing less than a common slug who's kind of oozing around in the bushes. And that's what they're diminishing us down to being, by diminishing our capacity to have moral choices about who we procreate with, who we enjoy sexual intimacy with. And that's a fundamental attack on every single person on this earth and your own and their worth. Their worth as a child of God. Now, having said that,
yeah,
we were going to talk about something completely different. So yes. I couldn't let you.
No. I appreciate. Well, so let me. So since we're doing that, let me just throw this at you real quick. We got a little bit of time, but let me throw this at you. I was challenging something that Dennis Prager put out about Pride Month. And he's, you know, he's kind of soft pedaling a bit. He's like, I don't understand it. And his logic is, you know, how can you be proud of something that you claim that you're born as, because you don't have anything to do with it. Now, I argue that that's not the case. You're not born with a gay gene. There's a choice that is made. But my greater issue is when you do, and I had Mason Weaver on yesterday, and I asked him, I said, how does it make you feel having been a part of, you know, the civil rights conversation back in the 60s, and being the first guy on, the first black conservative on, by the way, Southern California radio, back in 1971, first black conservative on Southern California radio, your old stomping grounds. And I said, how does that, and he said, it's ridiculous. He said that's a choice. That is a sex choice. That's choosing who you're going to have sex with. That has anything to do with it. It's an insult to the civil rights battle.
Of course it is. And it's been astonishing to me how easily those who fought hard for equal rights have accepted a false premise which diminishes the rights that they fought to be recognized as theirs, and rightfully
right.
So. It's sort of like the feminist groups sitting there and saying we have to accept, who fought for years for women to have equal participation and have opportunities to go to college on scholarships and the like, for their athletic prowess.
Right.
It's like those same people then saying, oh, but men who are feeling a little feminine that week can go off and compete for the trophies and can compete for those scholarships. That's it's a slap in the face in their entire achievement.
Right.
And it's a, and so as a result, you know, you sit there and you look at it and you say, what are we, you know, and the reason for that is the foundation of what a lot of these people have been doing has been to try to overturn kind of what God had designed.
Well,
and challenge what God had designed. And so you've got a.
Doesn't it challenge, Rick, the concept too of right and wrong? I mean, if God is the giver of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, God is also the lawgiver.
Right.
Our laws are set and established, predicated on the laws that God gave in His holy word, in this holy Bible, in this book right here. And so if we suddenly start saying that this is irrelevant, then we are saying that God is irrelevant, His rules are irrelevant, and then man can do whatever he wants, and we know the heart of man is wicked. And my argument with Mr. Prager is that when you equate and you say, well, you can have decent people or not decent people, and it doesn't matter, and then he elevates. It doesn't matter if you're black or if you're white or if you're gay or if you're straight. I'm sorry, there's a problem there, because the very essence of homosexuality, of sodomite, is not decent. It's just not. And the only one that can say that it's decent is man. And now what have you done? You've said man is the one who then gets to decide what the laws are and what the rules are and what rules we're going to follow. And that means government. And so now you're no longer conservative. You're not a conservative because you're saying that that man and the government are God, not God.
That's ultimately the effect, is it makes it elevates government to the role of God and excludes God. And but, you know, is it any surprise that we're having an argument over the word pride? I mean, after all, we all know that pride itself was the sin that sent Satan careening out of heaven. It is a, you know, and so, and that doesn't mean you can't be proud of achievements of your kids. It doesn't mean you can't be proud of something that you do that, you know, where you really overcame a lot of barriers. But it's a matter of who gets glory in this situation. And there is no glory for God and in a homosexual relationship, because God doesn't accept it. It's not something that glorifies him. It glorifies Satan. Yep. So why wouldn't you have a Pride Month built around people who are effectively negating God, or say, I mean, their nose is a God, and are trying to have an exclamation that everybody has to accept their worldview,
right?
And there, which is directly anti-God. So, is there any surprise that when Target had was putting up displays that they ended up with a company providing stuff that was a Satanist-run company? No, there's no surprise there. Pride is Satan's sin.
Yeah.
That is the sin that God has thrown out of heaven. So why, where's the surprise that the Satanist company would celebrate Pride Month? Of course they are.
Yeah. Well, and okay, so I'm gonna build the bridge here, because again, when we enter into this phase now where we have discarded God's laws and rule of law, And you're talking about, you know, the arrogance of Satan and what he did and pride. Well, it's pride and boastfulness and arrogance that would cause an individual sitting as the vice president of the United States of America to accept bribes in an effort to then take those bribes and sway public policy, or as we even watched on video in the instance of the Ukrainian investigation into corruption, to threaten that if the individual who's going to expose the corruption is allowed to continue in office, then certain funding will not be forthcoming from the United States. I mean, those kinds of behaviors are the behaviors of an arrogant and godless criminal, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that that's a valid point. I also, however, think that when you look at the very narrow thing that's happening with the documentation alleging bribery against the former vice president, current president, you look at that, the same document ends up in a room only seen by the chairman and the ranking member, the Democrat, who's in leading Democrat. They look at the same document and they come out with completely opposite statements about what's in the document. And when you embrace, when you embrace the government as all powerful, then there is no truth, because there is no truth in government. It's the only thing that matters is power in government and who gets to set the truth. So if government's your God, then truth is the only truth that matters is the truth that allows you, the words that allow you to gain control over that God, over the government. And you'll say anything, as we saw with Adam Schiff when he kept promoting the Russian collusion lie, knowing full well it was a lie. And yet he kept promoting it because that was a vehicle he was using to keep power and to grow power and to grow government. And that's, that's what we can take out of this. You cannot expect people who believe government is the most important thing that exists and there is no God. You cannot expect those people to be truthful when they're talking about something that relates to them gaining power in government. And by the way, that's not a partisan statement, because there's people on both sides of the aisle who are equally vested in power, having the power of government to, quote unquote, do good, however they see that. That's not a partisan statement. It's a warning that when you elevate government to God, people will do anything to control the God they've created.
Well, let me, and relative to that whole issue about, power and control, let me read this scripture to you. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him." And so many, I rarely hear anyone preach on this. "And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation."
Yep.
The Pharisees were on a power trip, and they were afraid that the Romans were. So we, you see here that the Pharisees were carrying out the actions required of them by the Romans. Now, not in every case, and there was friction that existed between the Jewish nation and Rome, no question. But here's a perfect example of them recognizing and saying, if we don't put Jesus back in his place, if we don't take care of this Jesus problem, we're going to lose our place and our nation, quote unquote, to Rome. And this is exactly kind of what you're, to me, this is what you're talking about.
It's exactly right.
And yeah.
I learned this scripture from a different location. I learned it from the rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, when I originally learned it.
Okay.
And there's one song where the Pharisees are singing, and they say, "And for the sake of the nation, this Jesus must die." And it is the irony is that they made him a sacrifice. Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice correctly made Jesus a sacrifice in that instance in the eyes of the Pharisees. So it was a kind of an interesting way they did it. But the fact of the matter is, yes, the truth, nothing offends someone who wants to control power more than truth.
Yeah.
Because just as Pontius Pilate, who had real power, although he was afraid of Caesar, he had real power over the lives of people in Israel at the time. He sat there and he said, when confronted with truth, he said, "What is truth?"
Yeah.
Echoing
yeah.
the same thing Mao said when he said all power comes from the barrel of a gun. In Pontius Pilate's world, all power came from the edge of a Roman sword. And as a result, when you believe that might makes right, then there's no such thing as right.
Well, it's also interesting to note, too, that Jesus also warned them in Mark 8:15. He said, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And that word leaven was used as a Greek word to talk about corruption. So beware the corruption of the Pharisees and of Herod.
And leaven also, understand, is also, remember the Jewish people had unleavened bread, and leaven was referring to yeast, because once it permeates, gets into the system at all, it changes everything.
Yep.
And so you had people at the time who were very focused on the unleavened bread would sit there and say, okay, so leavening isn't just, the influence, it's the influence of those people, because if they get into, because it will get in between you and God and create an unholy separation. And that is what, so when you look at it, it was very, it's amazing reading the Bible and reading verses. And we haven't talked about this verse, and I quite honestly don't remember this verse, but I will tell you what always amazes me as I read the Bible, and I don't read as much as I should, is how smart people had to be 2,000 years ago, because the layers and depths of thinking it's not Dick and Jane here. We're talking about real depth, and we don't normally equate brilliance with medieval, with times 2,000 years ago. The fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ was, if we can't agree on anything else, you may not accept him as your savior. You should, but you may not. Mm-hmm. But you have to agree, reading the Bible, that he was the single most incredibly intelligent individual in the history of the world, and the most moral individual in the history of the world. And there's only one explanation for that, and that is he was the Son of God.
Well, which is also pointed out by the fact that they were amazed at how he taught. There's repeated recognition about how amazing they thought his teaching was, how he taught. All right, we're out of time, Rick. Thank you. I know we didn't completely get into everything that we initially set out to, but I think we covered some very important foundational topics. Important. Yeah.
Yeah, this is important. And, it's ultimately the stuff that's kind of the tactics, the stuff on the top, the salt and pepper.
Yep.
Is important, but you have to understand the underpinnings of everything. If you understand the underpinnings of everything, the rest becomes much more clear and easier to understand.
Hear.
That, you have a great, great rest of the week, man.
Thank you, bud. I appreciate it. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Hey, you know what? Listen, at the end of the day, I want you to check this out, because it really speaks to what we were just talking about. We're going to play that on our radio segment right now.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.